Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
Well, I'm going to start with a question. And the question is, what is the one word that we rarely hear in Zen practice? We talk about emptiness, we talk about becoming one, we talk about liberation, we talk about the stories that we tell ourselves that get in the way of liberation. What? Love, that's right. How often do we hear the word love? So I'm going to speak a little bit about how does this fit into our practice. And I'm going to start with a few lines by Rumi. Within the beloved's water of life, no illness remains. In the beloved's rose garden of union, no thought remains. They say there is a window from one heart to another. How can there be a window where no wall remains? So when we work on stilling our mind, slowly over time, we start to realize there is no wall. The wall is a barrier that's created by our mind. And then there's not even an idea of barrier. Right? And this is as we come closer and closer to where there is no separation. Right? This is the typical language of our practice. So when no window remains, that's when there is no lover or no one to be loved. Right? It's just simply love. Sometimes we refer to it as open-heartedness. Now, my favorite poet who I use every opportunity to read, I'm going to read a poem called Breaking Over Dark Water by Mary Oliver. Lilies break open over the dark water. Inside that mud hive, that gas sponge, that reeking leaf yard, that rippling dream bowl, the leech's flecked and swirly broth of life as rich as Babylon. The fists crack open and the wands of the lilies quicken. They rise like pale poles. So imagine, you know, just this lily unfolding with their wrapped beaks of lace, and one day they tear the surface. The next they break open over the dark water, and there you are on the shore, fitful and thoughtful, trying to attach to them an idea, some news of your own life. But the lilies are slippery and wild. They are devoid of meaning. They are simply doing from the deepest spurs of their being, what they are impelled to do every summer. And so, dear sorrow, are you. So the lilies are not interfered with by thoughts and stories, right? Just it's time of the year, and the pale pole rises up, and the lily opens, and there's this beautiful flower. So in a sense, that could be a metaphor for falling in love. But it's just opening. Right? No story, nothing to interfere with its annual process. So it's just opening. And so another way of saying it's just love, just love. If you're familiar with this, this comes from a koan. It's when Joshua says to Hogan, "What's the nature of your pilgrimage?" And Hogan replied, "I don't know." And as you will remember, Joshua said, "Not knowing is most intimate." And that's, again, that's the place where there are no barriers, no boundaries. And he was telling Hogan that we are each other. We are the universe. Now imagine that Hogan has this opening when he hears these words. And so he has this experience when everything drops away and he has this lovely intimacy with everything, right? There's no boundaries. It's just like that. So what is the emotion? I mean, we're human beings, you know, we don't go through this practice stone cold. What happens when this connection occurs? And I would say, from my own experience, that's true love, right? When we have that connection, the emotion that is connected to that experience is love. We could call it true love. And it's the love that knows no boundaries, no separation, just love. And Rumi wrote, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Right? So love is there all the time, but we don't see it. We don't realize it. So love is an acceptance of life and each other beyond our minds, daily picking and choosing. We receive all of life, then that is including ourselves. We don't leave ourselves out. We don't love everything else and forget about ourselves. Everything is love. So this doesn't mean that this isn't a pie-in-the-sky kind of love. So it doesn't mean that we don't seek to end suffering, that we're happy all the time. But when we do this, when we seek to put an end to suffering, we do it in a loving way, in an open-hearted way. And there's a lot of examples. Martin Luther King, he did all his work from a place of love. Thich Nhat Hanh, same thing. Bernie Glassman, my first teacher who just recently died, same thing. Mother Teresa, the same thing. The ground of their being was love. So, here comes the juicy part. Is this the same as romantic love? So if we look deeply at what we call romantic love, we will see that it is dualistic. There is the one who loves, and there's the object of that love. I love her, and she loves me, right? But there's this separation. There's a wall that hasn't dissolved. We might also notice that it is a love that relies to a great extent on how it makes us feel. And so that's good. Euphoric, special, affirmed, important, desirable. Right? But if you think about it, all those experiences are just reaffirming who we think we are or who we want to be. Right? But again, it's a very self-oriented process. It's about me. And as any of us who have fallen in love, we know how intense that experience is, and if it's left unrequited, it can lead to frustration, to anger, hurt, revenge, disillusionment, pain, and ultimately suffering, because it is self-oriented. It is dualistic. So, remember Rumi? They say there is a window from one heart to another. No lover and no one loved, just love. And this, I think, is true intimacy, true love. It's a love that arises when there is no separation. And the beloved includes everyone and everything. So it's all of life. And we fall into life and our heart fills with love. Now, Thich Nhat Hanh was asked by a young woman, in Buddhism, is there romantic love? And he replied, no. And she was sort of taken aback. And he then speaks to her about what he has identified as the four qualities of love. And they can be applied to any kind of relationship. Personal relationship, a love relationship, a family relationship, a friend relationship, our relationship to our employer. It just goes out and out and out. So here are the four qualities of love. The first one is what he refers to as loving kindness. And the primary meaning for him of loving kindness is friendship. And this is, darling, I am here for you. Darling, I am here for you. That's loving kindness. And it's a love that has the capacity to offer joy and kindness to others. So that's the first quality of love. The second is compassion. And if you remember, the Bodhisattva devotes her life to removing suffering of others. So if we are in a place of true love, if we are in a place of non-separation love, we are naturally, without seeking reward or a pat on the back, seeking to relieve the suffering of others by retaining a clarity, a calmness, a strength, so that we can transform any situation and bring, through love, others great joy. So that's sort of our work. You know, we work on ourselves to serve others. And imagine you're in a relationship with somebody that their life's work is to relieve the sufferings of others, right? Wouldn't that be great to wake up, look at this other person in your bed, and this person is embodying loving kindness, compassion. The third is joy. True love brings joy to the ones we love, right? Again, it's to the ones we love. It's worrying about ourselves. And that's because in this experience, there is no separation. So really, we're just creating joy. And being in partnership with somebody like that is wonderful. Love that knows no limits. And then the fourth he refers to is equanimity. And it requires developing a balanced mind to become non-reactive, to see the external reality as transient. And it teaches us to put ourselves in the other person's shoes, to treat one another impartially. So the challenge is, can we be that kind of love partner for somebody else? Can we serve somebody else and embody these four qualities? Now, this all sounds fine, but it takes a lifetime, two lifetimes, three lifetimes to really embody this. But our work is to do the best we can. And the better we do, the better our relationships are, our love relationships. So he says that when we embody these qualities, we can experience true love. And true love has the power to heal and transform the situation around us and bring deep meaning to our lives. So as I'm reading this and I'm taking this in and I'm sitting with it, what comes up for me is, well, what about passion? How does that fit into this? So I would say two things. One is, if the passion doesn't create separation, where we're thinking of ourselves in terms of passion, if it's embodying those four qualities, why wouldn't there be passion, right? It's just passion. It's another way of loving somebody and expressing the depth of that love. So I think as long as we are working to develop these qualities, passion should not be excluded from our experience. And then who is it? Who is it that's passionate? Who is it that's passionate? It's just passion. Right, there's no picking and choosing. It's me. It's you. It's just passion. Because it arises out of connection, out of oneness. So, I love you guys.